to a special Almanac Beer Showcase episode of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, so this is one I've been wanting to get to for a long time now.
And I keep putting it off.
So, yeah. So, it's what I've been wanting to get to because I've actually had the beers for quite a while. These beers are about 2.5 years in the bottle, and we had picked them up at Golden Crust Pizza in Red Lion, Pennsylvania about that long ago because they're having like a special bottle sale. So it was, I was like, ooh, I really want to get some Almanac stuff. I want to do a showcase episode. But every single time I was like, oh, how about we do Almanac as a showcase episode? Rebecca's like, that's all sours, right? Which they don't just make sour beers, but what we have for this episode is all sour beers. And I will also say that every one of the four beers we're trying during this, they don't have anymore. They're not available. So these are all, they do a lot of like smaller batch stuff. So, but I'll read at the very end of the episode what they have available now, like what's their core stuff, what's their, you know, special batch stuff, all that. And they have it separated. There's fresh beers and there's their oak age beers, which are all their sours. So they have like so IPAs and stuff like that.
All of their sours are barrel aged.
Yes.
Okay.
And they don't do kettle souring.
Okay.
I wrote, you can see on my notes, I wrote very big, no kettle souring with like three exclamation points.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. That's probably one of the reasons when I've had Almanac beers, I really like them because I like the extra dimensions you get from spontaneous fermentation as opposed to kettle souring.
Right.
Like I've said before, there's good stuff with kettle souring here and there, but it's not as, never as good as the normal way.
And well, it depends what you like though.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Also, I'm talking from my taste.
You're talking with your hands a lot. Please know there's a cat laying behind you.
I know. She's right near me. So,
okay.
Now, if people don't know what the Farmer's Almanac is, it's basically a reference guide that's been done since, I think it says 1818 where I read it. And it's still being done now, I believe, where it just kind of like charts all of the weather patterns throughout the United States. And that's so that it's available for farmers so they can kind of like look ahead by predicting, you know, based off the past, what, you know, the seasons will be like so they can plant things.
I wonder, like, is the Farmer's Almanac more reliable than meteorologists?
That's a good question.
I know what you're saying is, like, they predict more into the future than what meteorologists do, but I'm wondering.
I don't know. I don't know. That'd be worth Googling or something. Maybe Kyle Norman knows that one. He's an agriculture teacher, so.
Yeah.
Kyle Norman, how accurate is this Almanac? Tell us about this Almanac. Okay, so their motto at Almanac is Farm to Barrel.
Okay.
And they actually, you can see on this bottle, it says Farm to Barrel.
Okay, now my glass is empty.
I know, I'm getting there. So they're, one of their things about doing it, like Almanac and all that stuff, they're all about sourcing local sustainable ingredients for their beers. So that's kind of why they went with Almanac, because it's all about the farmers, it's all about
the
local.
Season and,
all that jazz.
Cool.
All right, okay. So let's go with our first beer. Now, this is a dry-hopped farmhouse ale aged in oak barrels with citrus, vanilla beans, and spices, and it is called Summer in the City. It's a sour, and it's 6.6% alcohol. Now, it says dry-hopped, but I don't think that's going to matter, seeing as that it's like 2.5 years in the bottle, so apologies. And also apologies if people hear the table move while I open it, because that's a thing.
Oh, so this is not the two that you initially had sitting out.
No, it is. These are the two I took out. These are not the two that you saw sitting in the front of the fridge. Yeah.
Got it.
So, okay. All right, what is this one looking like? It looks very, well.
Very light.
Those are huge. Do you have a bunch of huge bubbles clinging to the sides in yours? Yeah, there's a lot of carbonation to this beer.
It's very light, very yellow.
Yeah. There's a little orange tinge to it, but yeah, pretty yellow. It's clear. I can see through it. Although there is, like, there's stuff floating around in the bottom, so just know that, people. All right, let's smell it.
Yeah, I'm terrible with sours because I'm like, it all smells the same. It all smells like tart. This is like tart, funky lemon.
So this definitely smells funky. It definitely smells tart. Yes, I agree with the lemon. It smells very farmhousey. In my opinion.
Right. I mean, I feel like it's just
like the tart farmhouse, or as people say, rustic farmhouse ale. Like, that's what it smells like with a nice lemony sour.
And there's, what do you say, vanilla?
There is vanilla in it. And spices, it said? Yeah, vanilla and spices. With citrus as well. So I don't know if that's like citrus peel or what. But...
I know.
I smell a little something.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
So I think like, it's because I know the vanilla's there. I feel like I smell a hint of the vanilla. But there are also other spices, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm like. There is something. I want to say vanilla only because I know it's there.
Right. But also, as I continue to sniff it, that lemony smell is morphing to a little more orangey, in my opinion.
I was going
to
say it's definitely morphing into something sweet.
Yeah.
Which maybe could be, I could say orange.
Yeah. It's, in my opinion, it smells really good. Yeah. It smells refreshing, yet sour. So,
A sour beer is never refreshing to me.
In my opinion, it can be. So, your reaction? I definitely get a pretty decent funk on the end of it. This is, you gotta admit, this is not as sour as you expected.
No, it's not.
There you go.
I just...
There's a tartness. It's not so much sour as it is tart. There's a tartness to it. The mouthfeel is pretty light. It's very thin.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That adds to the whole, like, kind of crisp, refreshing thing that I said it kind of smelled like.
I mean, it is... For this style, it does taste and finish very clean.
Yes.
There's
a decent funk throughout, though.
Right.
It's not crazy, though. Yeah, it's like a medium-low funk. And I will say that it tastes like orange peel in there. Because there's a bitterness that goes along with like an orangey citrus.
Yep.
So it tastes like a farmhouse ale with orange peel.
Yeah. Are you getting the vanilla on the taste?
Mm-mm.
No. I'm not at all.
I'm not. But the thing could be over the 2.5 years it's been in this bottle, it could have just fallen out. So.
How about spice? You getting spice?
No. Same thing. The spice could have fallen out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad because I know a lot of people really like this beer. But
you mean just like the sours from Almanac in general?
Yeah. I feel like I don't want to be too critical just because it's like not my style, but I'm like, eh.
So then that's why you have me. I like sours and stuff like this. I like this beer. This is nice. Good. It's not like, I wonder what it was like when it was super fresh.
Yeah,
I bet you could get the vanilla, the spices. It was probably had more oomph to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it the way it is now. It's very easy yet flavorful.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you like it because you can continue.
And I do. Okay, so information-wise, Almanac was founded in 2011 by Damian Fagan and Jesse Friedman. Now, these two were homebrewers who met each other. They were very passionate. Both of them passionate about?
Sours?
Farmers markets. Yes, sour beers as well, but farmers markets. Okay, now they got together. They decided we're going to do a brewery. We're going to give this a shot. But they were still working their day jobs at that point. So they're like, we're going to try brewing. We're going to see if we can sell stuff. Still work our day jobs. Now, see what happens.
When you say they liked farmers markets, does that mean?
On their website, they said they both had like a passion for farmers markets. They loved farmers markets.
Just go to them? Did they
probably
sell things at them? Did they?
They probably weren't initially selling things there, but
I mean, no, I just like a lot of people like farmers markets.
Yeah, but you have people who just go there every now and then, like us.
Yeah.
And then you have people who are there every weekend.
We were there every weekend for a small stint.
Right.
But, okay.
So they started brewing, and what are you going to guess their first beer was? Very first batch of beer that they did together to sell as an Almanac beer.
I have no idea. That's like...
Their first beer was a Belgian-style golden ale aged in Sonoma Zinfandel barrels with Sonoma blackberries.
Oh, well, that's ambitious.
Yeah, that was exactly the thought that popped into my head when I was reading this information. I was like...
And expensive.
Who does that? And that's actually a good point. I was thinking, who does that as their first batch as a new brewery? But I wasn't even thinking about that, well, which you brought up. Yeah, expensive.
Because of the berries and the barrels...
Yeah. I didn't think about that, but yeah, expensive, but also that's risky.
It's ballsy.
To just show up and be like, hey, you've never heard of us before, have this. And yeah. It's like a crazy beer. So they must have really had a lot of faith in their ability. So they hand sold that batch of beer.
Okay.
Case by the case out of the trunks of their cars.
You had to buy a whole case of it?
Yes, I guess so. So case by case, they sold it out of the trunks of their car.
At the farmer's market?
No. Oh. In the Bay Area, because this is San Francisco area. So in the Bay Area, at restaurants and bars. So then they actually,
sounds sketch.
Well, yeah, but how else are you going to get going?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if I'd be like, oh yeah, let me buy a case of this beer from randos.
Yeah. So they sold out of it.
Okay.
People were interested in more. That's how, you know, they're still a brewery, basically. So they kept making beers while they were working their jobs, but they could really only make beer quarterly for that reason.
Mm.
Until 2 years later, and then they had kind of made enough money that they were like, look, we can quit our day jobs. We're going to make this a brewery thing full time. Okay. So then that's when they started doing it. So cool. We'll get to some more information after we do another beer. So this one, also 2.5 years in the bottle, is their Dog Patch Currant. This is a sour red ale aged in wine barrels with black currants. And it is 7.2% alcohol.
Is it pronounced currants?
People say currants, currants.
Oh, I've only ever heard currants. Maybe just because I'm not as high class.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I change the way I say things from time to time just based off of what I've heard from other people. And if I think that they're, like, you know, particularly knowledgeable or not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if I've been saying a word a certain way for a while, and then I hear someone and I'm like, they definitely know. Like, they have the background knowledge, so now I'm going to start saying it that way. Okay, so it looks very red.
Yeah.
It's clear, relatively.
Yeah.
Relatively clear, it's really kind red.
It's a weird color.
It's, like, yeah, it's like red with a tinge of, like, it's almost brown? Like beet.
Yeah.
Like beet juice, I mean, in a way.
It doesn't look super appetizing.
No, I think it looks good. No, I like that kind of color. Any sort of reddish for beer.
I just have a bad attitude towards this.
Well, it's because it's sour, wipe your head. Don't even think about your sour bias. So there are bubbles on the top. They're large.
Yeah, not as much as the other one, though.
That's true. Smelling it. I smell the wine barrel on that.
That's kind of all I'm getting.
Yeah.
It's very strong. Oh, like, I feel like if you tasted this blind, I could say it's wine.
Yeah, it smells like a red wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tannic on the nose. Mm-hmm. It smells like a lot of contact time with, like, red grape skin. There's a woodiness to it from the wine barrel.
I'm getting a lot of that barrel.
There is a fruitiness to it. I wouldn't say black currants because I don't, you know, I'm not all that familiar with that.
Because you don't even know how to say it.
But I would say it's kind of like, right, exactly. I would say it smells kind of like a mix between raspberry and plum, which sounds weird to say, but.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, but I think it smells good.
It's like, all I can think of is grapes because I'm thinking, it's a wine.
I mean, that makes sense. This is definitely more sour than the first one. You're gonna, there's that face.
Pucker up.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I like this because I can do sour. It's a lot of the funkiness I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this better than the first one.
Yeah, I can see that.
I feel like it's more complex. I feel like I'm getting more fruit.
Yeah.
It is more sour, but again, it's more of the tart sour.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it is clean.
There's a lot of wine to it still. Mm-hmm. Like, not, it's not just the smell, it's the flavor. It tastes very red winey.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, that, you know, tannic. It's got a lot of the woodiness from the barrel as well. So it tastes like a red wine. But you're also getting, like, I'm getting like a low-level cherry.
Okay, yeah. I mean, there's definitely like a lot of dark.
Yeah. It's like cherry and raspberry and blackberries and, you know, all the red berries, basically. Yeah. Mm.
And maybe the Courants?
Yeah. Well, I mean primarily the Courants, but we just, you know, we're not that familiar with it, so we're just going to compare it to other things. But this is really good.
Yeah, I actually think I'm going to...
Drink more?
Yeah.
Ooh. Almanac, if you hear this. That is a victory.
Yeah. That's a big victory. For me, it's more kind of winey.
Very much.
So it's like wine with a little tartness. So yeah I'm down with this.
I really like the Summer in the City, but I do like this more. Mm-hmm. And I really like that it's kind of like a beer wine hybrid.
Yeah.
Because if done right, beer wine hybrids can be amazing.
It's fun.
So, all right, getting to the information again. So in 2017, they moved into a 30,000 square foot production and aging facility, and this ended up being in the San Francisco Bay. And the building they took is a former airplane hangar on Alameda Island.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. It's kind of like when you find those cool location breweries like Burley Oak for us in Berlin, Maryland. Like, they're in an old cooperage building. Like, that sort of stuff is cool. Prior to that, they actually had a tap room for a while that they were doing contract brewing at the time, and then they're serving beer at this tap room. So they had a kitchen in the tap room, but apparently they never used it. They just kept having food trucks come, which I can't blame them because from what I hear, it's a total nightmare to have to deal with the restaurant portion
and the brewery.
Yeah, so if you can just have a truck show up and,
especially like if you specialize in beer, then you have to worry about specializing in food. And plus, it's good. I like when there's food trucks because it's a good variety, too.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's another rotate. That's another thing is you don't have to worry about, what are people's food tastes now?
Yeah.
You just be like, look, this is our truck rotation. We have a bunch of different trucks coming. Come whatever night suits your palate for food, and we'll do the beer. So makes sense. Oh, and did I say no kettle souring?
Yes, I believe you did say that.
Okay, so I'm going to go over a few of their beers, and then we'll drink another one of the beers, and then we'll go over the rest of the beers that I've written down.
Okay.
So they have it broken up into a few segments on their website. They have their fresh beers, which are broken down into core and limited. Then they have their oak age beers broken down into sunshine and opportunity and sour nova. Then they have their farm to barrel, and then they have their special projects. So for their fresh beer, because like I said, they don't only do sours, although that's what I've mainly known them for. They have, for their core beers, Love Hazy IPA, Loud Hazy Double IPA, Vibes Hoppy Pills, that sounds good to me, Boost Coffee Stout,
yeah,
that sounds good to you, True Kolsch, that sounds good to both of us,
yeah.
Waves West Coast IPA. Then for their limited fresh beer, Side Hustle IPA, Unfiltered Opinion IPA, For Sure Hazy IPA, Fluffy Hazy Double IPA, and Zombie Wolf Hazy Double IPA. So they do a lot of hazies.
Yeah. Now, do they distribute those?
I assume so.
Have you seen those?
Well, they have pictures of the cans on the website, so I assume they actually distribute them. It's just that, we don't get it where we are. So as far as their oak-aged beer, for their Sour Nova line, which is just basically kind of like one type of sour, and then they do different fruits with it, they have a strawberry basil, which sounds really cool. They have an apricot. They have a cherry, a raspberry, a peach, a blackberry, and a blueberry.
Hmm.
And I have had the peach Sour Nova before, and I enjoyed that. And then there's Sunshine and Opportunity. This is another one where it's kind of like the same thing as the Sour Nova, but a little bit different. They have one that's just straight up sour. They have one that's a rosé-style sour.
Hmm.
And then one that I would not like this, Lavender Honey.
Hmm.
Yuck. Because you know me, I hate lavender. Actually, have I talked about that on the podcast?
I don't know.
I hate lavender. It's a thing. All right, so our third beer that we're going to try here is called White Label. Now, this one was said to me as being quite good by Vince from Golden Crust. Huh. This is a dry-hopped farmhouse ale aged in wine barrels with muscat grapes, raisins, and spices. So let's give this a gander. I assume it's going to be light in color.
And it is.
Yep. There you go. All right. What does it look like?
It's not as light as I thought, though. I mean, this definitely has some yellow to it.
Yeah, it actually looks pretty orange to me. Once again, it's pretty clear, but here's the thing that we found out, because we're recording this in two portions, because Rebecca can't take all that sour, and I can't drink four sour beers all myself. So what we found with the Summer in the City and the Dog Patch Courant is that when we got to the bottom, you actually had a bunch of stuff kind of sitting there. So when we say that it's clear, it's clear because it's been sitting upright for a while. So,
yeah.
But yeah, very orangey.
Hmm.
What does it smell? It smells orange to me. Doesn't it smell orangey to you?
See, this is where I struggle, because to me, this smells very much like the...
Like the Summer in the City?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're both farmhouse.
Yeah, so it's like tart, farmhouse-y, yeasty,
yep.
And lemon peel.
Yep, I agree with that. I get a decent funk on the nose of this one as well.
I mean, I feel like they are smelling very similar.
I do get a little grapey. It's a little grapey. I'm assuming from the muscat, but then there's also a little bit of a honey on the end of it as well. It smells good to me.
I can get, I don't know if I would say honey, but since you said it, I would say honey, but I'm...
Like a sweetness.
Something, yeah, exactly. Some sort of sweetness.
I get you. It smells good to me. Let's go in. Definitely smells farmhousey, though. Like the, you know, this rustic farmhouse. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Hmm.
Oh. It punches kind of sour real quick, and then I feel like it smooths out.
Yeah. It's not as funky as I thought.
Mm-mm.
It's definitely more of, like, tart. But yeah, it hits you real, real hard in the front.
I get the grapiness.
I do, too, on the end. And I'm getting some of that sweetness, so you're calling it honey. Sure, like some of that on the end.
Oh, yeah. And I get a lot of that lemon peel you were saying. And that's kind of throughout. Like, it has a decent bitterness that persists through the whole beer. I like it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you taste the raisin?
No.
It tastes a little orangey to me as well, though. Orangey mixing with the lemon peel.
Okay, yeah.
Definitely, I do taste the funkiness, but like you said, there's not as much as you would assume from the nose. And it definitely tastes like a farmhouse, like a tart farmhouse ale.
Yeah.
Hmm. So this is, it's pretty smooth, though. So it's very nicely smooth.
It's definitely approachable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can actually drink this and kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
And again, it does sours taste, are not my thing.
Yeah. And it does taste a little white winey.
Yeah.
So, putting that next to the Dog Patch Courant,
right,
that's like a
say,
red wine. Yeah, this is like a white wine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I dig that. It's nice. It's nothing crazy. It's just like very well executed, light, kind of easy, but flavorful. I don't know, it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't say the ABV on it, I don't think. Which is, it says there's bread in it, by the way. 7.3. There you go. So, here, rinse these glasses for the
I'm
last
sorry,
one.
That was not barrel aged.
Well, they're all done in oak.
Oh, just oak.
They're all, well, actually, wine barrels.
Oh.
So, the two of the beers are just done in oak, and the Dog Patch and this white label are in wine barrels.
Okay.
Okay, so the rest of the beers. So they're Special Projects. They're Jungle Jim Sour IPA. Universal Ghost, which is a blended bourbon barrel-aged imperial stout with vanilla bean. Yes, please. Fooder Friends, which is a pale lager aged in oak fooders and dry hopped. And Gray Matter, which is a grisette in oak with pear added. Which sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah.
How many people are doing grisettes?
No.
Not many.
I would like to have that.
I'd like to have a lot of these. Except I don't need the hazy IPAs. You know me and the hazies. Don't need it. So then the last category I'm going to read is what we're All the beers we're having are farm to barrel. So these are the farm to barrel ones they have on their website now. So they've had them kind of recently or will have them available. Blueberry Sierra, which is a Flanders style sour aged in oak with blueberries. So all of these are aged in oak, by the way. Okay. So I won't say that part. Peach Pomplemousse Hopcake, which is a sour IPA with peaches and grapefruit.
Oh, that would be interesting.
And then dry hopped. Apricot Hop Cake, which is a sour IPA with apricots and then dry hopped. Tropical Hop Cake, which is a sour IPA with apricots, pineapple, and guava, and then dry hopped. That one sounds particularly good to me.
You don't see guava a lot.
No. And especially not mixed like that.
No.
If it's guava, it's usually just on its own. Strawberry Hop Cake, which we have had this one. Sour ale aged in oak with strawberries, raspberries, cherries, nectarines, and pluots, dry hopped. We had that at Golden Crust at one point.
I don't remember anything.
Their Fruit Cobbler, which is a sour farmhouse with peaches, nectarines, apricot, plums, and spices.
Hmm.
That sounds good for like fall
or
winter. Then Farmer's Reserve number 5, which is a sour ale with raspberries, strawberries, cherries, nectarines, and pear.
Hmm.
So a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They do a lot of beers. Now, this one, this last beer that we're going to try is not on that list. And this is an interesting one. This is one of their Debretaville beers, which I think are heavier on the Brettanomyces. So this one is called Pumpkin Pie. And it is a farmhouse ale aged in oak barrels with roasted heirloom pumpkin and spices.
So you could have brought this out for our pumpkin beer tournament.
Could have. And I thought about that, but I was like, no, I want to save it for the almanac showcase. This is 7% alcohol.
Okay.
So I don't know how I'm going to be with this because I'm iffy on pumpkin in general.
I don't know how I'm going to be
spices.
On this. I'm iffy on Brett.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be tough for the both of us, potentially. But I think I'm intrigued. I'll just say that much. I'm very much intrigued by what this could be. It's definitely not something you hear people doing.
No.
A sour pumpkin beer, really. Man, that's real orange.
Yes, it is.
Very orange. And it's clear.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's probably stuff on the bottom.
Smells like pumpkin.
It smells like pumpkin and spices, for sure.
I think it smells really good.
It smells like heirloom pumpkin to you?
Yeah, exactly like heirloom pumpkin.
I don't know the difference there. Doesn't make any sense to me.
It's such a nice smell, because you're getting a lot of the... You're getting the pumpkin, you're getting all the spices, but then you do get the Brett.
Yeah, and I just feel like the Brett just adds an extra depth to the nose. And it goes really well with the spices and the pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just kind of like folds together very, very nicely in the nose.
Yeah.
And it's very subtle too, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very present, but it's not like super aggressive aromas.
Are you able to pick out any of the spices?
Cinnamon and nutmeg.
I was getting cardamom.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. They don't list on there what the spices are, so...
Like... Typically, you think of, I'm like, cinnamon, nutmeg. I'm like, but there's something else. I'm like, I feel like it's cardamom.
I could see that.
Or ginger.
Yeah, I could see that too. A lot of spices. It smells good, though.
Okay.
Let's get in there.
Going in.
Hmm. Oh, there was also a honey note in the nose for me. This is interesting.
So, I like it.
It is sour.
It's sour, but not overly sour, and it's not overly funky. It's more of like a tart. It's more tart.
Yeah. But it's pretty tart.
And it's definitely
phlegm-inducing.
Inducing.
Yeah, I agree.
But you're definitely getting exactly what you're getting on the nose. You're getting that roasted pumpkin. You're getting the spices.
Mm. Yeah. This is good because, like, you can definitely taste the pumpkin and taste the spices, but they're subtle.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're definitely getting them, but they're not aggressive. Like, they're nice.
Yeah, they're in check.
I like this as a pumpkin beer. The other thing to say is, you know, this is, like, 2.5 years in the bottle,
right.
So maybe those things have really settled down. But there's like an apple note that's coming through as well at the end, along with a bit of like a white wine, almost like a Sauvignon Blanc, because of the tartness in there. It's a really complex beer. It's pretty good.
You're surprised.
Yeah, I like it. So that's all the information we have on Almanac.
Okay. I'm
very excited we got to do this episode because, like I've said, I've been holding these beers and I've been wanting to talk about Almanac because I like the way they do sours. Very interesting. Did I mention no kettle souring?
No.
Because they don't.
You didn't. Wait, they don't kettle sour?
No.
Oh, wow. No.
Okay, so let's do our final ranking. How do we like these beers? First of all, I like them all. And whatever my first and whatever my last is going to be, they're all quite tasty in my opinion. So, I got to figure out where I want to put these. That's a toughie.
Okay.
Do
you want me to go or no?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
I forget, which one's that other one there?
This one's Summer in the City.
Yeah. Okay, so Summer in the City is going to be my number four.
And that one is the dry hopped farmhouse ale in oak with citrus, vanilla, beans, and spices.
Okay.
So that's your number four.
Number three is White Label.
Okay, and that is the dry hop farmhouse ale aged in wine barrels with muscat, grapes, raisins, and spices.
Number two
is the Dog Patch Courant.
Yep, the Courant.
And that one is the sour red ale aged in wine barrels with black currants.
And then my number one is Pumpkin Pie.
Pumpkin Pie. Farmhouse ale aged in oak barrels with roasted heirloom pumpkin and spices. The heirloom is what's important there. So for me, I'm not far off. So my number four is the Summer in the City. I'd still quite like it, but, you know, that's my number four. My number three is the White Label. My number two is the Pumpkin Pie. And my number one is the Dog Patch Courant. I think it's amazing how much that Dog Patch Courant tastes like the perfect fusion of a sour beer and a red wine. I really enjoyed that beer when I finished it off. So good. So good. So, yeah. Now, what do you think about Almanac? I know you're very hesitant
on this. I can appreciate them. You know, and I can drink a little bit. It's just not my... It's just... sours are not one I just want to, like, drink a whole glass of.
Yeah. But this pumpkin pie, if they made it again and we could get our hands on it...
I like it.
You would want it for wintertime?
Yeah, I think it is a good winter...
Yeah. And it's good for me because, like with pumpkin beers, it's usually like, it's either the pumpkin flavor or it's more pumpkin spice or it's a mixture. The sour aspect in there gives me a little something that I really like that makes it so I can handle the pumpkin and the spices more. So yeah, I really like this for that reason. Might be one of my favorite pumpkin beers, TBH.
Wow.
Good job, Almanac. Anyway... Hopefully people enjoyed this episode. Send us ideas for other breweries we should do showcases on and just other stuff in general. BrutalBattlePodcast@gmail.com. But thanks everyone for listening. And until next time,
keep it brutal.